bad choices.
Mine.
But I mean, when you go over this case, it's like referred to this brutal time period as the Reign of Terror on the Osage Native Reservation in 1897.
Got the ball rolling down the hill was on February 6th, 1923. So this is like 2 years later. Hospital by the people who poisoned him.
It's very
now under U.S. recognition as
interrupting you.
The bulk of income for the Osage Nation because the oil's actually.
There's still a thing that's happening.
I mean,
the Queen Elizabeth died. I'm taking that.
What a coincidence. You know,
if any podcast goes to add, Kelly, Robert.
Yep. Oh, I've made a New Year's resolution.
What's that?
I'm gonna be worse.
I will make that change. Memes.
The other night, me and my friend Noah, we painted our nails and watched horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
We watched this one movie called Cheer or Die that came out this year. Oh, it was like extremely bad, like a bad movie.
I love bad movies.
No, but then it got really fun because the way that they fought the serial killer was through cheer. And it was super gay in the best way.
Beautiful.
There's a really, really weird horror movie I just watched called like Wounded Fawn.
Or something, or Wounded Lamb?
Super good.
Wounded Fawn.
This sounds familiar.
It takes such a turn partway through. It's like, it's
Oh, have
strange.
You seen There's Something?
It's not like standard.
There's movie. Something Up on Monday?
Yes, I saw that a while ago.
I love that. I wanted to beat that bitch ass at the end. So, welcome back to another episode of Brawls of Murder in 2023.
Woo! Happy New Year!
The year where we're not making bad choices.
My dumbass brain literally just said, "What is it going to come out in 2023?"
I did that too.
We're literally in it currently. What are you talking about?
2 days down.
I did that too, but I just wasn't going to say anything.
but you know, new year, but same old shenanigans. Because in this episode, we're talking about one of the Reign of Terrors, because when I was researching this,
yeah, there's more
this
than
was
one.
Called yeah, there's more, yeah, there's more than one, and it confused me at first. But I mean, when you go over this case, it's like history keeps on repeating itself, because to this day we still have a bunch of Native Americans who get murdered and people don't investigate it, don't look into it. They kind of just chalk it up and it goes away.
The Highway of Tears in Canada.
Here you go. Here you go. So, this episode, Kelly, you gotta tell me how to pronounce it first so I don't fuck it up.
Mm-hmm. But their name, Osage.
Yes. Osage. Yeah. So,
well,
this
at least
episode,
that was my assumption. I didn't actually, like, it sounds hear good. It.
Yeah. I kept saying
that's
Osage at first. So, we're talking about the Osage Native American murders, or the. I said Osage, didn't I? Osage.
you're doing amazing, sweetie. You're doing your best.
I said a made up town last time, so.
So we're talking about one of the Reigns of Terrors. I'll tease this up before we get into it. So during the 1910s to the 1930s-ish, the Osage Native Americans were systematically murdered in Osage County, Oklahoma. And newspapers refer to this brutal time period as the Reign of Terror. But if you Google it, you're probably going to get the French one that comes up first. We ain't talking about that. that's a different episode for a different day.
So the this French. Just kidding. We like you guys.
I mean, we haven't trended in French in France yet, so.
If we say some fucked up shit now about France, we'll get those hate likes farming. Hey, engagement's engagement.
New year, new rage. Now, this lasted between 1921 and 1926, but also I heard things saying that it happened from 1918 to 1931, so your mileage may vary. And at least 60 wealthy, full-blood Osage Native Americans were reported dead. And a number of the victims included Osage Native people who were heirs to future fortunes. However, newer investigations indicate that these suspicious deaths were misreported or cover-ups of actual murders and crimes. For money. by the white man.
Are you shocked yet?
not surprised.
So what? White people killing others for resources.
Killing minorities in America.
Never.
So let's review a little bit of background information about the murders before we dive into it. So there was a discovery of oil on the Osage Native Reservation in 1897, which is now Osage County, Oklahoma. In addition, the leasing of the land was held by the Department of Interior, and they also managed the royalties and payouts to the individual people who were living on that land. Now, by 1920, the oil market had grown dramatically, and the people became very wealthy. And after a bunch of whites lobbied Congress for a piece of the action, the Osage tribe was forced to appoint guardians in 1921 because the white people felt like that they would mismanage their wealth and mess up their money, which in actuality, they just wanted a piece of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
So now, the system required guardians to be appointed to everyone, including minors, even if like they had, like, the parents were gone and dead and they had other family members, like, you still need to have an appointee.
The guardians for children makes sense, but, like, an adult needing a guardian to manage their money is so fucking patronizing.
Like, forcibly? Like, you didn't even ask for help. So now, the courts appointed these guardians from local white lawyers and businessmen and different, like, legal heirs. Several of the guardians were charged in 1924 with corruption in administration of their duties, but all still avoided punishment by settling out of court with the money that they probably stole from these Native Americans. Millions of dollars were believed to have been swindled by these guardians from this tribe of people.
So, the first death that started kind of, well, it probably wasn't the first death, but the first death that started getting attention and got the ball rolling down the hill was on May 27th, 1921, Anna Brown was found at the bottom of a ravine. So, initially, her death had been ruled an accident, and I think it was considered an accident until more bodies started piling up. But the same day, Brown's cousin, Charles Whitehorn, was also murdered. And, like, obviously so. I believe he was shot in the head. After Anna was killed, her head rights transferred to her mother, Lizzie Q. Kyle. She was found dead non-accidentally. She was found murdered 2 months later, I believe, in her home. So then, of course, the head rights transferred again. On February 6th, 1923, so this is like 2 years later, Henry Rowan Horse was found murdered in his car. March 10th.
Oh my god, I feel so stupid. In my head, I was like, they had cars back then? I was like, oh yeah, they did.
Yeah. March 10th, 1923, which obviously was like a month later, Rita Smith, I believe, was another cousin of Anna. Her house was bombed. So she was in her kitchen with a servant. Both her and her servant died immediately. And then her husband was severely, like, mortally wounded. But he lived, I think, a few extra days and was able to give, like, some kind of information to police.
That had to be, like, the worst type of pain. Like, you survived the bomb.
Well, you're probably like,
yeah, no thanks.
Morphine me out.
Mm-hmm. Just give me drugs. June 28th, 1923, so this is like the third one of that year, and like 2 years later from the first three that I mentioned, George Bighart was sent to the hospital after falling ill, which he was another cousin of Anna, and he later died. It was found that his whiskey was poisoned, which ironically, he was sent on a train to the hospital by the people who poisoned him.
It's very cinematic.
Mm-hmm. And then
there's lots of like double cross and shit that happens in this story.
Yeah. Well, and the thing too, the last like major death that was contributed to this, like, I mean, obviously, like I said, there were 60 plus people murdered, but these are the ones that get the most attention in this realm. They were the most obvious because, like, obviously, just Anna dying wouldn't draw suspicion, but like that many people of one direct fucking family, mm-hmm. There's no way that could be a coincidence. So the last major death was of William Watkins Vaughn. And he was George Bigheart's lawyer. When Bigheart fell ill and was rushed to the hospital on the train, he called Vaughn and was like, I don't think this was an accident. I have incriminating information and I need you to come ASAP. So that's what Vaughn was trying to do. But he never made it onto his train. And he was found on the tracks 5 miles from the city where all of these people lived with his skull crushed in. Another accident. An unfortunate accident.
An unfortunate series of events.
Yes. So, as it turns out, Anna Brown's sister, Molly Kyle, was married to Ernest Burkhart. Burkhart was the nephew of a wealthy cattleman from Texas, and his name was William Hale. Hale had conspired with Ernest and Ernest's brother, Brian, to slowly kill off members of the Osage tribe so that eventually, through Molly, they would receive legal inheritance of the land and mineral rights. The mineral rights included any profits from the oil drilling found on, I guess, what were formerly Osage lands, which made, as you said, many of the tribe very, very wealthy. And then, of course, as I said, the murders of George Bigheart and his lawyer were, on one hand, because Bigheart was of relation, and on the other hand, to cover up the damning evidence that both of them had.
And now, a message from our sponsors.
We've talked about a couple times now something called head rights. So, essentially what happened was the United States pushed the Osage Nation onto reservation. They said, this is your land, it belongs to you now under U.S. recognition. As the United States continued to expand, they said, hey, remember that land we gave you? Turns out, actually, we need that to be able to continue our expansion, so you need to give us that land. And they said, well, under your law, like, it belongs to us, so you're going to have to pay us. And they're like, how's this going to work out? They said, we'll give you the rights to the land, to build on it, to expand, and so on. But we'll maintain mineral rights. So in all across Osage Nation, anything below the ground belongs to the Osage still. So Osage Nation still
one
holds
of the
property,
few
still
decent things the American government ever did for
the bare minimum, some might say.
That wasn't even their idea. They just said, give it to me. And Osage said, counteroffer. But we
true.
Keep everything below the ground. And that was before they knew that there was oil there.
I'm just surprised that they
this
agreed to it.
Yeah. That was all figured out before the important oil was discovered in the Osage lands. So it kind of happened very, very quickly, in like less than a generation. Oil was discovered, all of these oil derricks go up, and then the people of Osage, which is a pretty small community comparatively, pretty much every member who had head rights, which is you are a full-blooded Osage person, you are part of this original founding group, essentially, that is given mineral rights. It's called head rights. It's a legal title. And every quarter, you get a check based on the mineral rights producing within Osage. So, when a person dies...
I have one question.
Yes. Yeah.
If you have. So, the one thing that I find interesting, though, is, like, so they kept killing them and, like, the head rights would transfer from person to person. Does that mean not every single person has them? Or is it just, like, an accumulation? So if, like, these three people die, now I'm getting my check and their checks.
So I think it's kind of like shares. Like, there are a certain number of shares that were originally designated as head rights, and those rights, you know, entitle you to a specific share of the wealth. So when someone dies, their head rights transfers to their inheritant. Now, often, you would expect that goes to a child who is, you know, also Osage, and they are a direct descendant. But in the case of the Eckharts, no, not Eckhart, what is his name?
Burkhart.
Molly and Ernest. Burkhart. If, for example, Molly were to die, he being her legal husband would be the inheritant of that head right. Even though he is not Osage in any way, he was just married to an Osage woman. So these criminal organizations of people, and I don't mean organization in, you know, a real sense, I mean organization in a conspiratorial sense. These conspiracies of people start realizing, like, oh, we can position ourselves around the community, and then conveniently people will die, and then you know, Mr. White, businessman or lawyer, who is maybe in league with the Guardian over that head right, you also now have it. And will go to your children, and their children, and their children, as your direct inheritance. So these head rights...
Diabolical.
Made people millionaires. As soon as you got a head right, you were basically a millionaire. It would take a little bit of time, but you had oil money coming in immediately. For sure, diabolical. And so some of the reading that I saw, there are some who speculate that over 100 deaths are connected to the head rights of the Osage people. So a lot of these, you know, drunken accidents, someone crashing a car, things that we can't directly prove, especially with how far removed we are in time. So anywhere from, you know, the handful that actually went to trial to over 100 of people trying to get this money. And in the Osage land, it became known as the oil curse of, you know, we did this thing to protect our people by demanding the mineral rights when we gave up the land. And now it is the reason that, you know, every con man in the nation is attracted to Osage land. Any way you could con someone, people tried to do that to the Osage people. So you had doctors who intentionally prescribed addictive medications to just get money out from underneath them. You had banks that had speculative financial products and, like, fake bankruptcies. And every
man... I wonder why people don't trust the banks or doctors.
Yeah. And all of these people were just attracted to the wealth of the Osage. And the only protection that those Osage people had at that time were either the local police, who were all white men, or their legally appointed guardians who, you know, again, are just wealthy white men who are trying to take the money as well. They're in a lot of the reading from first person, a lot of the first person perspective stuff. You see a lot of, like, racial superiority language talking about, like, they need this this guardianship because they're, like, weak-minded and things like that. And the racism,
I don't know where, like, all this shit came from.
Understood.
Like, that attitude and all that. You know what I mean?
I blame Pocahontas. The movie, not the person.
not the woman who was sold away to Europe.
No, just the Disney soundtracks calling them savages. Yeah.
I still can't, like... So even I would not have thought of that if... Sorry.
No, go.
I was just gonna say, I would not have remembered how bad that song was had Battle Not brought it up. But man... Yeah. Whew, that's rough.
Gotta love old Disney.
Barely even human. Thanks, Disney.
So one of the quotes...
Sorry, I'll
that
stop
I saw,
interrupting you.
No, it would be fine if my audio wasn't so distinct from you guys. One of the quotes that I saw regarding the treatment of Native American people and one of the murders was that people were trying to liken it to something closer to animal abuse than an actual murder. Because,
Jesus fucking Christ.
They're Native American people. And, you know, 1910s to 1930s, so obviously horrible, deplorable philosophy. But that's the kind of thing, discussion people were having about it. And even people, you know, full-blooded white American men who were trying to help the Osage people, like the lawyer Kelly mentioned, also got murdered because they were trying to get in the way of, you know, that money being taken away from Osage land. So of all the deaths that happened during the Reign of Terror, the only case that actually went to trial was the Burkhart family murders. So the Bureau of Investigation, at that time it was the BOI, but we would know it as the FBI, became involved, and they immediately began having difficulty generating leads, because no one would talk to them. Everyone in town is in league to fuck over the Osage people. So they're like, no, I'm not going to help you persecute people who are fucking them over. So they kind of stall out, and that's kind of where it was going to end. And the only way that anything was going to come out was if one of the conspirators gave up the others, which is actually exactly what happened. Ernest Burkhart, he was married to Molly. I don't know her,
Molly
her
Kyle.
Name that she died under. Yes, thank you. At that time, Molly Burkhart, the nephew that was set up by Hale to inherit the head rights when they killed Molly. he came forward about the conspiracy that he had been poisoning Molly slowly over time and it was going to eventually kill her. And also that his uncle, Bill Hale, was connected to the shooting death of Rowan. Mr. Rowan's first name?
I believe it's Henry. Yeah.
Henry Rowan, yeah. So Bill Hale was directly connected to the shooting death of Henry Rowan. And Ernest Burkhart agreed to testify to avoid the death sentence and instead get life in prison. Bill Hale was sentenced for his role in orchestrating the shooting of Henry Rowan and sent to prison in Kansas. And then his trigger man, the person who actually shot Henry Rowan, John Ramsey, was convicted as well. The man who planted the bomb underneath the home died. All other conspirators died prior to trial or were never found out. So those were the people who were given up and survived. All were persecuted and went to jail on life sentences. However, all three of them would later be paroled. So many people believed that their wealth and influence made their sentences shorter and more comfortable, and that, you know, justice wasn't served. The only kind of small piece of justice that people cling to was that because it was a federal case, when Bill Hale was released from prison in Kansas, he was banned from ever returning to Osage land. So he could not live there anymore, but he did go on and live a longish life and got away with it, in my opinion. You know, he just had to do some years in prison after intentionally conspiring to kill multiple people, and then just got to go be a wealthy man still. The violence.
Yeah, he died at 80 years old after annihilating an entire fucking family.
Yeah,
like that entire lineage is gone. Well, not entire, but like
a big portion. Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't deserve a long life.
No.
So all this violence that happened in this period of the Reign of Terror did change some things that are the way things are done now. So as a result, the law regarding how head rights changes is now different. So now you have to be at least 50% Osage to inherit head rights. That being said, if you are a person who has head rights legally, you can declare someone to be your inheritant in your passing. So if you had a child, or maybe you adopted a child who was not Osage, you could say, this person will receive my head rights upon my passing. However, when that person dies, they cannot pass it on to anyone else. It will be returned to the Osage tribe to be distributed. So in 1999, the Osage Nation was also able to sue the federal government for mismanaging their resources. So kind of how we mentioned earlier that the government had to essentially just start paying for the mineral rights that they were using, the Osage people didn't necessarily own the oil derricks. They were being managed by the federal government, and then the government was cutting checks. And because of mismanagement of those resources, the Osage Nation was able to sue, and then they settled outside of court in 2011 for $380 million. And we kind of talked about it earlier, about this was considered like the oil curse, that, you know, all these people were attracted here to hurt the Osage people by all this oil money. So today, it is now casinos and green energy that make up the bulk of income for the Osage Nation, because the oil is actually drying up. There's less and less oil because it's been pulled for so long. So we can only hope that, you know, as the oil dries up, so is this curse. And as they move towards green energy, which I think is just like poetic and beautiful. And it's a very sad, like, period of time. And it is good to see that the Osage people still exist in a big way in, you know, Osage, Oklahoma area. Just a lot of needless death.
Yeah, no, for over, like, a decade, too. Because a straight decade of people getting mysteriously murdered.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that was, like, just after people were at war and being intentionally murdered. Like, all of those people in Osage survived, you know, the American wars. And, you know, it's sad.
We know America. We treat people like shit. And they take their money from them. And it's, I do want to bring back to this point.
It's the American way.
Yeah, and that, like, Native Americans are still having their land, like, ripped under them, like, ripped up from under them and getting fucked over by the government. That's still a thing that's happening.
I mean,
look at all the fracking.
Like, it's the British way. It's the coming from that area. I mean, it's the same thing in other countries, like Jamaica, and most of the Caribbean has been colonized pretty heavily.
The one thing we do best, unfortunately.
South America.
Including France. Which circles us back to why aren't we in top 100 of France?
Well, we got beef with the French now. Bras of Murder, we got beef with the French. 2023. I think last year was the crown. And technically we won because the Queen of the Queen Elizabeth died. I'm taking that as a W for us. I'm willing to debate what should be Lennon or not.
Lizzie's in a box.
I mean, look at this entire, like, all three of these continents, right? North America, Central America, South America.
Yeah,
they all speak fucking European languages, don't they?
Yeah. And that was the episode.
What a coincidence. You know,
if any podcast is going to reign in the new year complaining about white people in America, it's going to be us. So I'm glad you're here with us. I'm glad you're here. Another year, another episode, even though the season's going to be over in like 2 or 3 more episodes, but we're here now. And we appreciate you. So stick around for the music. Check out the Patreon for early episodes that are also ad-free. Get ready for our last episode, season finale. It's going to be a banger. It's going to be fun. We're bringing back Dumb Crimes. And yeah, anything else to add, Kelly, Robert?
Nerp. Oh, I've made a New Year's resolution.
What's that?
I'm going to be worse.
Yes. I will make that change. That's all I mean.
Nobody said that your resolutions can't be for evil.
And no, mine was a cyberbullying man named Larry.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, bad on the way he did. But yeah, no, that's the end of the episode. Kisses from the homies.
I know my kisses are going to be late.
All right, and stop it.
Time now for your latest weather forecast.
Can I ask you, was it something I did? Still I wonder, 'cause it isn't too clear. Is it something I did?